Hollywood's greatest stars in Hollywood's greatest motion pictures. From the glamorous movie capital of the world, we bring you Stars in the Air. Our play tonight, it's a Players, James Stewart and Donna Reed. Our stage, the famous Screen Guild Theater. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a couple of questions for you. Do you like to laugh? Like a touch of romance? Like a bit of sentiment now and then? Well, great. Come on in. You'll find them all in this sparkling new series of half-hour shows transcribed straight from the heart of Hollywood. That's right, the heart of Hollywood. Because all Hollywood is contributing its time and talent to make this the brightest spot on your dial. Typical is our very first play, a tender prelude to the Christmas season, the famous inspirational hit, It's a Wonderful Life, starring James Stewart and Donna Reed, with Joseph Granby and Junius Matthews.
It's Christmas Eve just a few years ago. It's Christmas Eve, and in the little town of Bedford Falls, people are celebrating the joyous season.
Please, God, help George Bailey.
But through the gaiety, another sound is heard. A very sober sound. A sound of people praying. Prayers born of desperation and love, rising toward heaven in agonized hope. Rising higher and higher above the earth, above the falling snow, above the clouds, and finally, as they reach the stars.
Clarence?
Yes, sir. You want me, sir?
Yes. Seems to be some trouble in Bedford Falls. A lot of people asking us to help George Bailey.
Splendid, sir. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45, Earth time, he'll be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, dear, his life. Then I've only half an hour to dress?
Clarence, you will spend this next half hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Yes, sir. And, sir, if I should accomplish this mission, I mean, well, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting over 200 years now. People are beginning to talk.
Well, you do a good job with George Bailey, and you'll get your wings. Now then, let's have a look at Bedford Falls. Can you see it, Clarence?
Well, now that you mention it, oh, this is amazing.
See the drugstore down there? That's George Bailey jerking sodas. He's your problem, Clarence.
A boy?
Oh, that's when he was 12, back in 1919. And that little girl at the soda fountain, that's Mary Hatch. She's 9 years old, and she's in love with George.
In love, sir?
That's what she's telling him. She's saying, I love you, George Bailey. I'll always love you. I love you till the day I die.
My goodness, at her age? Things have certainly changed since my day. What does George say to that?
Nothing. He doesn't even know she's in love.
But, sir, she just told him.
Yes, but she made sure she was talking to George's bad ear.
Bad ear, sir? How did that happen?
Oh, he caught a cold when he went through the ice.
He fell through the ice?
No. He jumped through to save his kid brother, Harry.
But, sir, all that was when he was a boy. How did he grow up?
Now, Clarence, I'm glad you asked me that. George grew up fine, saving his money, working afternoons, pinching and scraping, with just one idea. Someday he was going to travel. Someday he was going to college.
But what about the girl, sir? Did she stay in love? Did they get married?
One thing at a time. Let's have a look. See her down there?
Is that Mary Hatch? Well, she's all grown up.
Yes, and so is George. And they just met at a dance. And now they're walking home.
Bottle old gal, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon.
Hot dog! Hot dog! Just like an organ.
Hmm? Beautiful.
Well, I haven't enjoyed singing like that since I... Hey, how old are you?
18.
18? Gee, just think, only last year you were 17.
Too young or too old?
Oh, no, you're just right. Your age fits you. Anybody ask me, I'd say...
What?
Hey, look at the old Granville house. Let's throw a rock.
Oh, no. I love that old place.
Oh, no, you see, you make a wish and then try and break some glass. You got to be a pretty good shot nowadays, too. There's been lots of wishes made on that old house. Now, look, right up there on the second floor, you see? Look. Hot dog!
What'd you wish, George?
Oh, it's not just one wish. It's a whole hatful, Mary. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. And then I'm coming back and going to college to see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. I'm going to build... What? Hey, you got a rock. You gonna throw it too, Mary?
Hot dog.
Hey, that's pretty good. What'd you wish?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that.
Oh, well, why not? Come on.
Oh, but if I told you, it might not come true.
Oh, what is it you want, Mary? What do you want? Well, you want the moon? You want the moon? Just say the word. I'll throw a lasso around it and bring it right down to you. And then, you know, you could swallow it. And it'd all dissolve, see? And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair. And am I talking too much?
If you ask me, yes.
Old man Collins on his porch.
Oh.
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
How's that?
I said, why don't you kiss her? Instead of talking her to death.
Oh, you want me to kiss her, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, mister. I'll show you some kissing that'll put hair back on your head. I'll show you some kissing that'll make you
George.
Waste the...
Hey, George.
Uncle Billy, what?
Oh, I'm glad I found you, George. You better come right home.
Well, what's the matter? Anything wrong?
The doctor's there now. Your father's had a stroke.
Naturally, Clarence, you can understand that it was a pretty bad blow for George.
Oh, I'm sure it was, sir. But did he get away?
Well, he had to give up his trip to Europe. There were so many things to be taken care of.
But he did go to college.
Well, he went right ahead with that plan, all right. In fact, he's leaving now, on his way to the station.
Well, goodbye.
See him down there?
Yes, sir. I can see him, sir, but... He doesn't look like he's going anywhere. He seems to be in a meeting or something.
Yes, the building alone. He stopped off on his way. That's the board of directors, you see. They're deciding what to do with the company. Listen, that's old man Pop talking.
In my opinion, there's only one thing to do. Dissolve this institution and liquidate its assets. This town doesn't need a building and loan. We got a bank that can handle that sort of thing.
Your bank, Mr. Potter.
Well, suppose it is mine. What's that got to do with it?
Oh, it's quite a lot.
He was not a businessman. Peter Bailey was a man of high ideals, so-called, but I say that ideals without common sense can ruin this town. And furthermore,
Now, just hold on. Just a minute, Mr. Potter. Now, you're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny ante building and loan, I'll never know. But when you talk about ruining this town, that's another thing.
Well...
Maybe he didn't save enough money to send Harry to college, let alone me. But he did help a few people build their own homes and get them out of your slums, Mr. Potter. Now, what's wrong with that?
Why,
those people, the ones my father was trying to help, they do most of the working and the paying and the living and the dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Well, anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him. And in my book, Mr. Potter, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
Well, I quite agree with
you. Well, I'm sorry, gentlemen. You're the board here. You do what you want to. There's just one thing more, though. This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can come without crawling to Potter.
Mr. Chairman, I call for a vote on my motion.
Come on, Uncle Billy. Let's get out of here.
Boy, oh boy, that was telling him, George. You sure shut his big mouth.
Yeah, I wonder.
I'll write you all about it, George. You'll have to hurry to make that train.
Yeah. Gee, I sure wish I knew how they were voting in there.
Come on, boy. Come on, step on it, will you? You gave up your trip to Europe. Now, you don't want to miss college, too, do you?
I should say not. No, sir. Nobody's going to keep me from going.
Wait, George.
Mr. Camel, what is it?
Voted Potter down.
Whoopee!
There's only one condition, George.
Condition what?
They say they'll keep it going if.
If what?
If you'll stay and take your father's place.
Well, Clarence, I suppose you can guess what George's decision was.
Yes, sir, I can guess. He didn't go.
Not only that, he took the money he'd saved and sent his brother Harry to college.
But, sir, what happened to George?
Oh, George stayed home and ran the building and loan and dreamed about the day when he could go on that round-the-world trip. And sometimes on summer evenings, he'd take a walk.
I can see him, sir. He's walking now.
Yes. It happens he's found himself in front of Mary's house. She just got back from college this week.
But back and forth... Why is he doing that, sir?
That's what Mary's wondering. Listen.
George, what are you doing? Picketing?
Huh? Oh. Oh, hello, Mary. No, I just happened to be passing by.
So I noticed. Have you made up your mind?
How's that?
Have you made up your mind?
Made up my mind? What about?
About coming in. Your mother phoned and said you were on the way over.
What? My mother told you that? Why, I just went for a walk. I just happened to be passing by, and I...
George, are you coming in or aren't you?
Well, I'll come in for a minute, but don't get the idea that I mean, she had no right to call you, you know, my...
Mary! Mary!
I'm down here, Mother.
How do you like that? A fella just starts out for a walk. All of a sudden, he
George, as long as you're here, you may as well talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Would you like to sit down?
Well, just for a minute.
Thanks for small favors. Would you rather leave?
Oh, no, no, no. I wouldn't want to be rude.
Mary, who's that down there with you?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What's he want?
I don't know. What do you want, George?
What do I want? Me? No, nothing. I just came in to get warm.
Mother, he's making violent love to me.
What?
Well, you tell him to go right back home, and don't you dare leave the house. Sam Wainwright's calling you from New York tonight.
Now, look here. Your mother needn't think that I... Just because Sam's father's a big shot, you know, I didn't come here to...
What did you come for?
I don't know. You tell me. You're supposed to be the one that has all the answers. You tell me.
All right, maybe I will. You came here so I could tell you about Sam Wainwright, what he's going to do for you.
For me?
He says you gave him the idea of making plastics out of soybeans, and his father started a company, and they're going into it big, and he wants you to work for him and buy some stock and get in on the ground floor and...
Now you listen to me. Now, you listen to me. I don't want any plastics. I don't want any ground floors. I don't want to work for Sam. Do you understand that? I don't want to work for Sam. I want to do what I want to do. And you're not... You're... Oh, Mary. Mary.
George. George. George.
Mary.
Mary, what's going on down here? Mary!
Oh. Mary.
Yes, George.
Don't you think maybe we ought to pick your mother up?